so thankful for today. Thankful for what God is doing in our church, in our lives, in our families. We see the hand of God moving in a particular way. He's always doing a new thing because our God is a God that blows a fresh wind every day, right? He does something new every day in our lives. And I just want to encourage you to always be open. Open your heart and your mind to receive what the Lord is doing in your life. Our theme this year is a focus, right? Our church is focusing on three things, on growth, expansion, and on revival. And for the month of March, we're going to be dedicating every sermon to that theme, focus. And some of our associate pastors will be speaking. I'll speak a couple of Sundays this month. And we're all going to start off our sermons with focused on and what the Lord is putting in our pastors' hearts. So we've been praying and asking the Lord to really speak into our hearts for this month, where we will just really look for the need and ask the Lord to give us the need of the church, the needs of our families. And we believe that God is going to speak to us in a special way, that God would move in our hearts and he would open up our minds to the thing that he wants to tell us. So I want to encourage you today, throughout this month, to be ready to hear what God has for you. And the church says, amen. And I'm excited to be able to present our speaker this morning, one of our associate pastors, an anointed woman of God. Help me welcome her, escorted by her handsome husband, Pastor Ruth Hernandez.
Is so good, right? Amen. I'm going to be speaking on focus on the book. And of course, the book is the Word of God. Because revival doesn't begin unless we're focused on the book. And I'm going to be reading from 2 Chronicles. It's a bit long, but it has to do much with the sermon and the word that the Lord gave me. And we're going to be focusing on the book of the law. Father, I thank you, Lord God, because your presence is here. And I'm asking, Spirit of the living God, minister spirit to spirit and give an ear to hear to those that are listening, Father, and hearts to receive. Father, we give you and you alone all the glory. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we say amen and amen and amen. So it's a bit long, but I'm going to read it. You can remain sitting. And this is how it starts. It starts, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the Lord. So children, I was about 8 years old, maybe a little younger, when I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And so he was 8 years old, and Josiah had an encounter with the Lord. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and he cut the molded images. They broke down the altars of Baal in his presence, and the incense of altars which were above them he cut down. And the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images he broke in pieces and made dust of altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did this in the city of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far from Naphtali and all around with axes. When he broken down the altars and the wooden images, had beaten the carved images into powder and cut down the incense of altars throughout the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Hilkiah finds the book of the Lord, the law. In the 18th year of his reign, Josiah's reign, when he purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Hamaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Johas, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord, his God. When they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites and Benjamites, and they brought back to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the foreman who had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they gave it to the workmen who worked in the house of the Lord to repair houses which the king Judah had destroyed. Imagine, we're under construction, aren't we? We're under renovation, aren't we? Okay. We're building a new wing, aren't we? And right here, he's destroying something in the temple of God. And so they gave it to the craftsmen, the builders, to buy hewn stone and timber for beams, to floor the houses which the king of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. The overseers were Jahath, Obadiah the Levite, and the sons of Mariah, and Zechariah the Meshulam, and the sons of Kohath to supervise others of the Levites, and all who were skillful with instrument of music were over the burden bearers and were overseers who did the work in any kind of service, and some of the Levites were scribes, officers, and gatekeepers. Now when they brought out the money that brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. The book of God was lost in the temple of God. I'm going to say that again. The book of God was lost in the temple of God. And because there was renovation in the house of God, they found the temple, in the temple, the law. After 18 years of reigning, keep that in mind. Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, so Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king, saying, all that was committed to your servants they were doing, and I've gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord and delivered into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. And Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest have given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Thus it happened when the king heard the words of the Lord, the law, that he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, Akim, son of Shaphan, Amden, the son of Micah, Shaphan the scribe, Asaiah, the servant of the king, to go inquire of the Lord for me, for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of God that is poured out on us because our fathers had not kept the word of the Lord. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to read something a little bit later. But here what's happened. In the temple, Josiah had become king. He had reigned 18 years. But in those 18 years, he began to destroy altars that were made up for other false gods. And his father, who was named Amon, reigned 2 years. And the word of God said that Amon was a wicked king. He was so evil that everything that was anti-God, everything that was anti-Jehovah, he allowed in the temple. And 2 years, the people killed him. But his father, Josiah's grandfather, was Manasseh. And Manasseh reigned 55 years. And Manasseh did wicked things in the house of God. He led the people of God into sin. Not only did he lead them into sin, he allowed Asherah's pole, which is a sexual pole, in the temple of God. He allowed prostitution booth in the temple of God. He allowed astronomers and astrologers and spiritualism in the temple of God. Manasseh took the whole people of the land, and not only did he defile the land, he also put children to be burnt on the statue and iron god of Molech. And it said that the blood that ran through Jerusalem was vast. He had defiled Jerusalem, he had defiled the Lord, he had defiled the temple of the Lord. Inside of God's temple were all these idols. Inside of God's temple was everything that shouldn't have been was there. And what was so sad about it, it was leaders. It was a king appointed by God. People that knew God. People that knew about God that allowed these things in the house of God. So Manasseh was captured as hostage. He was taken as an animal, actually. The Assyrians took him, chained him up like an animal, took the nose ring like an animal, and led him out to Assyria. And in the Assyrian cell, Manasseh repented. He came back. He started a revival. He died shortly after. But certainly, he didn't have much influence over his son Amon, because Amon did wicked things before the Lord and died wickedly. But then Josiah rose up. It says that Josiah was 18 years on the throne. And he knew in his heart what to do. So he began to destroy the high places, which are called altars. He began to destroy the statues. He began to destroy everything that was anti-God. But he never had heard the word of God. He never read the book of the law. He never have heard about the, he heard about it and never read about it. And there was reparation in the temple. And when we find this in the scripture, is that Josiah decided the house of God has to be cleaned. Everything that is not in the, of God has to be destroyed. But when he heard the book, number one, his heart became tenderhearted. Number two, he humbled himself. And number three, he repented. Number one, he became tenderhearted. Number two, he humbled himself. And number three, he repented. Because you see, the Bible says, what's tenderhearted? It means to have compassion, to be merciful, to be kind. It means to have a sensitivity to people. See, we can do ministry and be like, you better do this, honey. Well, we can do ministry and say, you know what? I'm doing the right thing with the wrong attitude. He was destroying the right. He was just, what he was doing was right, but probably had the wrong attitude. He probably called them, you know, you pagans. You know, you people of, how dare you? He was doing the right thing, but he was doing it with the wrong attitude. But when he heard the word of God, it says that he had a tender heart. The Bible says that we should have a tender heart to one another, right? The Bible says we should show bowels of mercy. The Bible says that we should be compassionate and kind to one another. The Bible says that we grow from image to image to the what? The image of God, glory of God. So when he heard the word of God, when he read the book, right? Well, the book was read to him. He focused on the book. Focus on what I was saying. And goes, oh my God, my heart is hard. The Bible tells us he will exchange a heart of stone for a heart of flesh. Because you sometimes we can get worn down by life. Sometimes we can get so routine and so mundane and doing things for the Lord that our heart gets very hard. Sometimes we can pray and we can teach and we can be mothers and fathers and wives and husbands, but yet our hearts are not very tender. And so the first thing is he became soft. You see, to receive the word of God, your heart has to be soft. Because when you're focused on the word does something. The word operates. The word is active and alive. The word cuts out those things that shouldn't be there. The word circumcised the heart. And so he became tenderhearted. It says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. It's in Ephesians. And when we focus on the book, we become tenderhearted. When we focus on the book, we become compassionate. When we focus on the book, it's no longer about me, 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 me. It's about us. It's about him. Because we're focusing on the book. And we have to be very careful, especially leaders, that we continue to focus on the book. And that we become tender-hearted. It says, finally, all of you be one-minded, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. That's 1 Peter 3:8. You see, because when we focus on the book, the Lord changes the heart. Give me your heart, Lord. When someone's crying, I want to cry with them. Not fake tears. When someone tells me something, I want to be focused and be tender. And that's what the word of God does when we focus on the book. Secondly, it says that Josiah humbled himself. He humbled himself. He had this estimation, oh my God, I've been doing things, but I need you, Lord. You see, humility is all, I need you, Lord. I can't do this without you. It's having the right opinion of yourself. It's having the right estimation of who you are. It's knowing that without God, we can't do anything. Absolutely anything at least worthwhile or eternal value. So he humbled himself because I'm sure when he went around telling his people, do this and do that, he had a lot of pride. He had a lot of pride because he knew he was doing the right thing. And that creeps up on me and on you, right? But when he heard the book, and he's heard what the book actually was saying, he focused his attention on the book because he focused and he was clear. It was sharp. It wasn't vague. It wasn't blurry. He was able to understand. He goes, oh my God, I have to humble myself in the sight of the Lord. You see, we have to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, but we also have to humble ourselves with one another. Amen. That's the hard part. Because when he tore his clothes, when he did it in front of the priest, in front of people, he humbled himself. And sometimes we don't want to humble ourselves. It says, if my people, and you know this, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. You see, if my people, so who are his people? Pastor Medina, my people, mi gente, I love that. We are his people, and he's calling us to humble ourselves. He's calling us to focus on the book, because you see, pride doesn't match up with the book. Either it's God's way or no way. You can have your way, like Burger King, but you know, either it's God's way or no way. Either we humble ourselves and realize, Lord, without you, without keeping focus on the real thing, without focusing on you, without really allowing you to work in my heart, and I see that the book, it's beginning not to only read, it's beginning to read me. It's beginning to say, you know, girl, you have a lot of pride, and it's time you get rid of it. And he goes, if my people, he said, he will hear from heaven. And sometimes I wonder why prayers don't get answered. Sometimes I wonder, well, Lord, what am I doing that I am blocking prayer? Could it be my pride? Could it be that I want things my way? Could it be that I'm not focusing on the book? I know what it says, but to know it and to live it are two different things. And in this day that we're living in, opinions and attitudes and what he says and what she says and what so-and-so says have superseded what the word of God says. People have a real overestimation of importance of who they really are in this day. Even in the house of the Lord, people supersede their attitude, their experience, that whatever comes into their mind over what does the book say? What does God say? It takes humility to say, I'm wrong. It takes humility to say, I'm sorry. It takes humility to say, forgive me. It takes humility to say, I need your help. It takes humility to say, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. It takes humility. But the proud will say, I can do it. The proud can say, we have this. The proud can say, we won't pray. Because you see, only the humble pray. First you humble yourself and then you pray. But when you have it all together, or you think you have it all together, we won't pray. And when Josiah heard the book, his heart was realigned and focused on the book. He humbled himself. He humbled himself and he said, oh my God, we're in trouble here. We're in trouble here. So then what he does, he tears his clothes off. We didn't get to that part. But he tears his clothes off. He put ashes, and that was a sign of repentance and mourning, because he wanted to repent, because he realized how far the people of God were from him. And the church in this day and age has gone so far from God. So far. So far. And it says that he will give us godly sorrow to give what? So that we can repent. It said, blessed are they that mourn, for they will be comforted. It's not, that has nothing to do with someone dying. It means that you see your sin for what it is. And you begin to mourn. Oh my God. How could I have done this? Why did I do this? Why did I defile you and me and the others? And he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He said, he gives us godly sorrow. And there's times in our lives that we need to repent. And repentance is simple. It just means a change of mind in the Greek. A change of mind. I think this way, and I focus my attention on what God says, and I do and believe what he says. My thinking changes when I focus on the book. And if my thinking changes here, my heart changes. And then when my heart changes, my action changes. I tell my evangelism class, whatever dominates your mind dominates you. Whatever controls your mind controls you. Whoever owns your mind owns you. So, when he heard the book of the law, he repented. He saw himself for who he really was. He saw himself and the people of Israel for who they really were. How can we lose the book of God in his own temple? How can we have lost the focus of the main book, the only book? The manual of life that gives us direction. How could in the temple of God, the people of God allow so much? Because they focus totally off the book. They wanted to be like everyone else. They wanted to be like the pagan nations. They wanted to talk like them, walk like them, worship like them. They wanted to be relative. And as little leaven, leaven's what? The whole lump. And a little leaven came in, and this was allowed. A little leaven came in, and this was allowed. A little leaven came in, and this was allowed. And before you know it, they were so far from God. And the book was lost. But then there was a renovation. And I love this, because I had a conversation with my pastor. I don't know if you noticed this, but there was a sign out there. You took it off. There was a sign out there because this building was not erected for the Lord. It was erected for someone else. And I said, Pastor, we got to take that sign off because this is dedicated to God. And so he's in this renovation. My question to you is the book lost in this temple? In this temple. Let's fast forward. Couple of centuries. Jesus, according to the Synoptic Gospel and John, Jesus cleansed the temple twice. I want you to hear me. Twice. The beginning and the end of his ministry. He walks in the book walks into the temple, his house, because in Isaiah it says, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all people and nations. Everything was going on in the house of God, but prayer. He walks in the temple. The book walks into his own house, and the people do not recognize he's the book. But you see, he took authority because you see the word of God, when we focus on the word, I'm a big doer of the word. I love the word. And I know that I have victory and authority over the darkness because the book tells me that he gave us power and authority, not just power. Power is enabling. Authority is something else. I'm glad that Brother Evil, Mr. Hill is here because he has authority. He's a detective. He has authority. But you know, so do we. Pastor has authority, and so do I. I have authority, and so does Sonia, over the darkness. So every person here has authority. So the book walks in. The rain, the Logos made rhema, the Logos incarnated. The Word of God walks into the house of God and is not recognized that he's the book. They don't recognize that he's the Word. They don't recognize that he's the Logos made rhema. They don't recognize that the Logos is flesh. It's walking into his own house. But see, he doesn't negotiate with people. He said that my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. And you have made it a den of thieves. And immediately he begins to cleanse the temple. And let me tell you, no one did anything. Because the Word of God has authority. When you focus on the book, you and I know we have authority. I have authority over the darkness. And the devil knows that I have authority over the darkness. He knows because Jesus gave me authority over the darkness. And it's strange. Well, Ruth, what does it have to do with the temple? Well, the temple of Herod was having the same problem back that Josiah was having. They lost the book in the house of God. They lost focus of the real book. And when the real book walks in this time, they didn't even recognize who he was. God forbid that. God forbid that he will walk here. Oh, he is here, and we don't recognize he's here. So then, that's the second temple, which also got destroyed, by the way. The temple of Herod got destroyed. Well, now there's a living temple. Not made of what? Bricks and mortar. Now there's a living temple. That God wants his book to have authority. And he wants you to focus on the real thing. And that temple is you and me. Hallelujah. That temple is you and me. And we can come to church. But is the book lost in this temple? When we get bad news, how do we react? If the book is active and alive in us, he'll give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Because in this life, we will have tribulation. That's a guarantee. Don't believe any person that said, oh, once you become a Christian, everything's going to be okay. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a lie. That's a real lie. The Bible tells me that in this world, I will be an overcomer because I'm going to go through a whole lot. In fact, it says that the married people, right? That the married people in Corinthians will go through a whole lot of trouble. So you singles want to get married? Well, get married. But the Bible guarantees something. We go through a whole lot of trouble. That's what Corinthians says. But he gives us grace. He gives us peace. When the mind is focused on the book. When the mind is focused on Jesus Christ. When the heart is focused on what the Word of God says, we become tender-hearted. When the mind and the heart is focused, we become humble. When the mind and the heart is focused, hey, we repent. I think I repent every single day of my life. You know why? Because the Bible says that he's going to renew our mind. It's a renewal. It's a process. Slowly, slowly, slowly. And you realize, oh my God, the way I thought was wrong. The way I said, what I said was off. And you begin to, he begins to renew you. And you begin to talk differently and act differently and live differently. And then, and only then, if we are focused on this book, there is revival. I told Pastor, I want to preach revival of the Bible. Because there's a lot of good books out there. No one has more books like my husband. No one. We have a lot of books. We have an extensive library. But the main book is the Word of God. And sometimes we so esteem other people's opinion. Sometimes we quote other people, and that's okay. If you want to quote people, go ahead. You know, sometimes we so are enamored with this author and that magazine and that personality that we don't even quote God's word. And sometimes it's because we're not focused on the Word of God himself. It could be, and I want you to hear my heart, that we truly don't believe what the word says. And because we battle that in here, we may not say it out here. But because in here, the conflict is, I know what it says, but I really don't believe it. And that throws you off focus. That throws you off into doubt. That throws you off and says, oh my God, because we really don't believe. But today, I want to tell you, we're in the same boat. And my main concern here is, like Josiah, when they found the book of the law, it had an impact on him. But not only on him, he impacted the whole nation afterwards. He impacted the house of God. He impacted those that he was leading because he realigned himself with the book of the law. And sometimes we can come to church and it can be very social. It can be, oh, it can be a good thing. It can be, we're doing this, we're doing that. A lot of activity was happening in the temple, in both temples, by the way. A lot of activities was happening. And the Lord wasn't pleased with the activity in the temple. So we, as a people, have to examine ourselves. And says, Lord, have I lost your book here? I'm so active and I'm here and I'm there and I'm doing and I'm saying, I'm jumping and I'm running and I'm just all over the place. But is this activity actually pleasing to you? Is there sin in my life? Because the first thing that Josiah recognized was sin. Is there sin in my life? What is that sin that keeps me from going more intimate with you? It can be simple, it can be gossip. It can be jealousy here in this temple. It can be envy. It can be competition. We compete with one another. Instead of becoming comrades, we're competitors. You're not going to outbeat me, and I'm going to be the number one. We become we think we're more important than what we are, and we become less of servants. The more the book is in your heart, the more we focus on the book, we become servants of God. Because we're called to serve one another. And the washing of the feet, that's not something which should happen just once a year. No. To me, the washing of the feet is, I wash you with the word. I cleanse you with the word. But you do it the same to me. You come and you share. And that's a washing that happened, a refreshment that happens. You cleanse me. We wash one another. We encourage one another. We help develop one another because the book is center and central in our life. So my question is, do you want a revival? So where is the book in your life? Where is the book? Let the word of God, number one, give us a tender heart. Number two, let the word of God humble us. Humble us. And number three, let the word of God lead us unto repentance that we will have good works and bear good fruit. And this is for you and for me.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.